The East Bay Business Times welcomes you to the Publisher's Notebook podcast, hosted by Mike Consul, publisher of the East Bay Business Times. The Publisher's Notebook features an interview with a different East Bay executive each week. This is an expanded audio version of the column that appeared in the weekly print edition. Publisher's Notebook is produced by XLRQ.com. This segment is sponsored by AT&T and Studio Blue. And now your host, Mike Consul.
We're here with Tom Campbell, the 13th Dean of the Haas School of Business at UC Berkeley. He's also a former U.S. Congressman, former California State Senator, and former Stanford University Law Professor, among other posts in his career. Tom, what was your very first job?
I was a law clerk to Judge George McKinnon on the United States Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit in Washington, D.C.
What is your business philosophy?
Make it possible for everyone around me to do their very best. Empowerment of folks around me. Create opportunity for folks I come in contact with.
How do you stay motivated?
Reflecting on the success and opportunities that have been opened for other people because of the work I've done.
What is your guiding principle?
Kindness.
Kindness.
Be kind to people.
What is your yardstick of success? In other words, how do you measure success?
The amount of time that people have to be free, to be exploring, doing what they wish to do. Some people use all of their time in their job, and if that's their choice, that's wonderful. Then that yardstick is success. If they are really focused on something else and don't have time to pursue that something else, that's a failure. So to me, the yardstick of success is having the time to be free.
What goal do you have yet to achieve?
Haas, number one business school, every ranking, every category.
Who do you see as your top competitor in that field right now?
Stanford.
Stanford University, and you're a Stanford alumni.
I'm not an alumnus, but I was a professor at Stanford for 19 years.
Ah.
And privileged to be a member of that faculty, of the highest regard for Stanford, and quite clearly they are our closest competitor.
What is the best decision you've ever made?
Getting married to Suzanne.
What's the worst decision you've made?
Not getting an MBA at the same time I was getting my law degree.
What's your definition of leadership?
Seeing something that others have not seen and inspiring others to see it and believe it's possible to achieve it.
What has been your biggest missed opportunity?
I should have come to California sooner. I came here in 1983, and I wished I'd come at least 10 years earlier.
Where'd you come to California from?
Washington, D.C. I had been there since 1980. And prior to that in Chicago.
Who was your mentor?
I was privileged to have Milton Friedman as my mentor at the University of Chicago. He was my faculty advisor and remained my friend throughout my life, throughout his life. God rest his soul. And George Shultz, who was the dean of the business school at the University of Chicago when I was a graduate student in economics. Although we didn't become friends then, we became friends later when I was elected to Congress from the Stanford University area. And he was coming back to Stanford, having been Secretary of State. And he's been a very close mentor and friend ever since.
What single word best describes Tom Campbell?
Hopeful.
What do you like best about what you do?
Students, they're wonderful. They're exciting. They bring energy and hope to everything that they do. Nothing is unachievable for them. And even though many have a substantial amount of experience, because in business school, you're required to have experience before you can enter for the MBA, they do not believe anything is unachievable. There is no such word as can't.
What do you like least about what you do?
Routine forms that I must fill out.
What are your interests?
Embarrassingly, terribly made films. The worse the better. Films where you can see the microphone boom in a shot. Films supposed to be Mount Olympus, where you see the cars driving along the rim of the hill in the background. Films where the actors are reading their lines. This is the sort of film which presents itself as serious and so woefully fails. I've actually made quite a study of this genre.
So you're a big Ed Wood fan?
Oh, Ed Wood, Walks on Water. Plan 9 from Outer Space, Glenn or Glenda, his contributions to nuclear peace with nuclear bombs exploding at the end of films for no apparent reason, even though they were not in the plot. Yes, this is a master.
And did you see Johnny Depp's interpretation of him?
I did, and Martin Landau as Bela Lugosi in that same film. Superb. I believe Martin Landau won the Academy Award as Best Supporting Actor that year. And Johnny Depp deserved the Best Actor Award. He did not get it, but he deserved it for that. he really interpreted the person. So yes, I was privileged to see Johnny Depp in the film Ed Wood. And at one time in my life to have possessed CDs or DVDs of almost the entirety of the life's work of Mr. Ed Wood.
What is your pet peeve?
Spelling and punctuation errors that people keep in the memoranda and letters that they write when they tell you that they've proofread them.
What is the most important lesson you've ever learned?
Never yell at anyone.
Why is that?
You take away somebody's dignity. You also betray your own lack of self-control. There is no reason to yell at anyone. And once you have, it's impossible to say, I didn't mean it, I just blow my top regularly, don't mind me, because the damage has been done.
Wasn't that hard to do when you were a congressman?
No. Indeed, you got along much better as a congressman if you were known as one who was not a yeller. There were a few who were yellers, and they didn't influence all that many. In Congress, you have one vote if you are a yeller. If you are a person who sees the other side, you have many more than one vote.
Well put. If you could meet any person, living or dead, and spend some time with them, who would you pick?
Niels Bohr. I've long wanted to understand the concept of quantum mechanics, how you can just accept the whole concept of uncertainty in subatomic physics. And he seemed to have no problem with it, and to have seen through in the quantum wave equations. Heisenberg was active in that as well, so depending who could explain it to me in simplest terms. But I think of Niels Bohr because of the conflicted life that he led, in some ways not admirable regarding the time during World War II. But in terms of intellect, as great an achievement as relativity, probably quantum mechanics was a greater achievement.
What is your greatest fear?
Not pushing far enough. If I try and succeed at something, I feel wonderful, but I wonder if I should have tried for a little more. Indeed, one never knows that one has tried unless one fails. If you don't fail, you might have done more. You don't know that you've done your best until you actually fail.
Yeah, Woody Allen said something to the effect, if you've never failed, you've never pushed yourself to your full limits, and you never understand your own limitations if you haven't pushed yourself to failure.
It's absolutely right. And as all of us grow older, I think, we are naturally inclined to take fewer risks. It's silly in a way, because the people who count in your life won't think less of you, but you fear that they might. And so failure becomes more daunting. When we were younger, it didn't seem to matter. In Silicon Valley, where my wife and I are privileged to live, failure is almost an accepted part of a CEO's CV. Well, what jobs have you failed at? And if you haven't, I'm not sure you're right for this position.
What is your idea of perfect happiness?
Salmon fishing. The time to enjoy nature, be reflective, have nothing more important to do than to find a salmon who wants to bite at the end of your line.
What is your greatest strength?
Persistence.
What characteristic do you most admire in people?
Optimism. I want to be around people who are optimistic. I've been around bright people who are negative energy people. I'd trade them in a flash for somebody maybe a bit less bright who's an optimist.
What characteristic do you most deplore in people?
Yelling at people, losing your temper, demeaning somebody. You should respect people. And I find it difficult to understand why people choose to demean others.
If you had to re-career, what would your first choice be for a new career?
I'd want to be a cosmologist, but let me put it this way. I'd want to have the brain adequate to be a cosmologist. I would absolutely love to study origins of the universe, ultimate outcomes of the universe, the one single unifying theory. That's what I would love to be able to understand. And I never had formal training, so I just read every book I can that has in its title For Laymen or For Idiots, on the subject of quantum mechanics or relativity theory or cosmology.
What is your favorite quote?
It's President Theodore Roosevelt. He had gone to Africa after being president and then came up to Paris en route to receiving the Nobel Peace Prize. And he stopped off in Paris at the Sorbonne in 1910, April 23rd. And he gave the quote, I think most people know, the famous quote, that it is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or what the doer of deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to the man who was actually in the arena.
What is your current state of mind?
Peaceful.
How do you deal with disappointment?
A focus on the blessings. Nature helps in this regard. look around you, realize where you are, look at the universe and the state of California, and you can't come away feeling bad. Put yourself in a bigger context and you can't feel bad.
How do you deal with stress?
I focus on lowering my voice and speaking more slowly so that I don't make the mistake of snapping at somebody. I take more time when I'm under stress. I absolutely consciously lower the pace at which I speak. I want to be sure I'm not reacting to stress. And that very process helps reduce the stress.
What is your exercise of choice?
I regret I don't have any exercise of choice.
So you don't work out regularly in any way?
I do not work out regularly in any way. I feel ashamed to admit it, but I'm telling you the truth in this interview.
What question do you most want the answer to?
I want to understand the single unifying theory of nature, the theory that explains subatomic particles and movements of planets. This is possible, I think, for a human to understand. Very few have come close. It was said that only 5 people ever understood quantum mechanics. So I would like to be among those who can at least have an intuition about that. That's what I would like. I'm sure I'm never going to write the equations, but I want to have an intuition about that.
What is the most influential book you've ever read?
Grapes of Wrath. I used to read the Grapes of Wrath chapter on the spring coming to California to my economics class. I taught economics in law school at Stanford for many years. And the chapter that Steinbeck uses to describe the economic failure of the Great Depression, he intersperses with comments on the beauty of spring coming to California and how the farmers and the scientists had worked together to create new varieties of fruits and vegetables, and how beautiful was the produce. He then speaks about piles of oranges being sprayed with kerosene and burned because if they were sold or given away, the price would drop. And he said, there is a failure here that goes beyond all of our successes. There's a sorrow here that surpasses all of our achievements. And in the eyes of the people, there is a growing wrath, and the grapes of wrath are growing heavy, heavy for the vintage. That's at least my paraphrase of that chapter, and that book has moved my life. It gives a good reason to study economics. I became an economist and I taught economics after I'd received my law degree. And it's important to realize that the study of economics is the study of providing basic human needs. And if you don't do that, no economic theory is worth anything. Steinbeck said that better than any Nobel Prize winner in economics.
What has been the most ecstatic moment of your life?
Oh, getting married. It's been a wonderful 28 years Suzanne and I have been married, and that was the most happy moment.
What's your most cherished possession?
I don't have any. I give away almost every keepsake that folks give me, so I'm not judging anybody, but when I went to go into colleagues' offices in Congress, I'd oftentimes see pictures framed on the wall of them shaking hands with somebody or other, and I never kept a single one. It's better, I think, to keep in life in the moment, in the present. And so I have no cherished possessions.
What is your favorite movie?
Well, this was a hard question. Obviously, Plan 9 from Outer Space has to be in the running because that's Ed Wood's remarkably terrible effort to combine space aliens and Dracula and zombies all in one coherent whole. He failed, wonderfully, brilliantly failed. Also in the movie, Bela Lugosi, who is playing the resurrected vampire, dies. Yeah, he actually died. Bela Lugosi, the actor, died during the making of the film. No problem. The director, Ed Wood, substituted one of his staff's chiropractor, who then played the part of Bela Lugosi with a cape over his face, so you couldn't tell the difference. That's inspired. But then I have to say Creeping Terror is close second, a 1950s film where the director actually lost the soundtrack for all but one reel. It was a 4-reel film. And so he simply put it out for distribution with commentary. So the director comments, he says, and now the sheriff went to the downed space vehicle and saw strange things. And then he went to talk to the local farmer who saw it crash. And you see people talking, but you can't hear them. And that's because the director actually lost the soundtrack. The monster itself in that film is a large rug with college students pushing it from underneath who are observable from time to time. This is a fine film.
What is your favorite restaurant?
Denny's. Same menu wherever you go, reliable, great American food. I get the Grand Slam or the steak and eggs. I go in on my birthday and I get breakfast for free.
What's your favorite way to spend free time?
I do enjoy watching bad movies. We have a stream that runs right on the edge of our house in San Jose, and my wife and I love to sit by that stream. That's probably what we do mostly if we don't get enough time to go salmon fishing.
What's your favorite vacation spot?
Los Cabos, down in Baja California. No telephones in the room, no television in the rooms, no radio in the rooms, just the sound of the surf and beautiful nature, beautiful environment where you can be quiet and listen. And it's amazing what things you can hear when you're quiet enough to listen.
Tom Campbell, thank you for taking the time and sitting down with me.
Most grateful that you cared enough to ask, Mike.
Thank you for joining this segment of The Publisher's Notebook with your host, Mike Consol. Publisher's Notebook is produced by XLRQ.com. This segment was sponsored by AT&T and Studio Blue.